Acclamation.
Christ is risen, hallelujah, risen our victorious head. Sing his praises, hallelujah, Christ is risen from the dead.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not know the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask for your help and guidance because at times our hearts hurt. We ask for your healing, for your help, in how we care for one another, and we especially care for relationships. Pour out your grace and your love to help us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Has your heart ever hurt? Yeah. How many songs are there about a broken heart? About a billion. Most of those songs have to do with relationships. Someone loves somebody and they don't have that person in their life, and so their heart hurts because of loss and aching. Another thing that causes our hearts to hurt is when we want to do something or we know people should act a certain way and they don't. There's a difference between words and actions. Some people call that hypocrisy. That also hurts our heart. And it was for that reason that 1 John was written that we read this morning. It's a pastoral letter, an epistle, written to people whose hearts were hurting. John writes in 1 John that God is bigger than your heart. So whatever your heart is feeling, whatever pain or sorrow or joy or love, all of those feelings are within God. God is bigger than our hearts, and so we can place our hearts in God. But then there's this question, what do we do? How do we deal with the situation when actions don't match up with words, right? Words, 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 talk, 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 but what about the action? And the first place our minds go is that, well, we need to improve our actions. We need to get better. But we all know that. So I want to propose to you another option. When there's a difference between our words and actions and they don't line up, maybe the first step is to reconsider our words. Because words, after all, are incredibly powerful. They say that the pen is mightier than the sword. And if we think historically of the great leaders, the great people who made movements happen, they had a way with words. Words matter. An example of this is on Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus says, the sheep hear my voice and they follow me, the power of the word. There's a preacher's story about a young, very young man, even younger than me. You see, I have some gray hair. So this very young pastor was a youth pastor hired at a big church that had lots of pastors. And those big churches, you know, they'll hire a pastor that just to work with the youth. And this church was out in the country. Isn't it funny how the churches in the country are sometimes bigger than the churches in the city? So this big church in the country hired this youth, called this youth pastor. And one of the families, influential families in the church, was a ranching family, a big family with lots of youth. And the father of the family, who was a rancher, invited the young pastor to come out and tour the ranch. And so out the pastor went and spent the day touring the ranch, had a lot of fun, four-wheel driving. And the main agricultural product of this ranch was sheep. It was a sheep ranch. And after the tour was over, the rancher said to the youth pastor, all right, it's time to eat. And the pastor said, all right, I'm starving. And the rancher said, nope, not you, the sheep. He said, so go ahead, tell them, say, time to eat. And the pastor looked at the sheep and said, time to eat. And the rancher said, no. No, you got to say it loud so they respect you and they listen to you. So try it again, because the sheep hadn't done anything. And so again, the young pastor said, time to eat. Nothing. The sheep didn't move a muscle. They just kept doing whatever it is they were doing. And the rancher said, now put some emotion in there. I mean, you got to sell this food to them, you know, really, you know, loud and with feeling, you know. And so the pastor again and again several times, you know, time to eat. And the sheep didn't do anything. And so finally the rancher said, here, let me show you how it's done. And the rancher walked up to the fence and in a voice just barely louder than a whisper said, time to eat. And all the sheep came running, fast, ready to eat. And the rancher looked at the pastor and he said, your problem is you're not their shepherd. I am. They listen to my voice, not your voice. But my children are going to be in your flock, and they're going to listen to your voice. So I'm asking you to please be careful and with love. The words that you speak will change their actions. It's a lesson that pastor learned that's been shared, and it's one that we hear about. The power of the word to shape and move action. And Jesus, our good shepherd, says that my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. Jesus, our good shepherd, as we read about in Psalm 23, uses his voice to guide us. In this psalm that we know so well, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. We're not lacking in anything. God gives us exactly what we need. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. Have you ever heard what that's about? If a sheep is put out in a really lush green field, they'll eat so much, they'll engorge themselves, and they'll get sick, real sick, and die. So the Lord makes us lie down when we have too much, make sure we don't overconsume, makes us rest. The Lord leads us beside the still waters, not to scare us, but to keep us hydrated. The Lord restores our soul, and this is the one that's just so beautiful in verse 3. You guide me along paths of righteousness. You could also translate paths of justice, paths of fairness. Yes, that's good. We want that. We want to live our lives following the Lord and following pathways of justice and righteousness and fairness. We want to live in a world that's good. And what do you think happens when we follow the voice of the Lord and we walk in righteousness and justice? What kind of an effect will that have on our lives? What will the quality of our lives be when we walk in the path of justice and righteousness? Because I know I want to walk in the path of justice and righteousness, and I think you do too. But listen to this in verse 4, the very next words, the very next words. Have you ever thought about this? The very next words after we walk in the paths of righteousness, it says this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When we follow the Lord's voice and we walk in paths of righteousness, that leads through the valley of the shadow of death. You know that. You know that when you follow the Lord's commandments and when you do everything right, you know by your life, it doesn't make our lives perfect and easy. I mean, look at Jesus himself. He was without sin. He walked perfectly in righteousness, and he died on the cross for us. Why would the Lord lead us into the valley of the shadow of death? Why does the path of righteousness go there? It goes there because God is calling us to bring righteousness to where there is no righteousness. We don't just get the righteousness and keep it all to ourselves and everything's hunky-dory. No. God leads us to the place where there is not righteousness. That path leads there so that we can be a witness, so we can be an evangelist, so we can be a leader and to share God's light in places where there is darkness. We get to share the justice that God has given us. We get eternal life from God, and then when we follow God's voice, God leads us into the valley of the shadow of death so that we can give life to where there has been death. God calls us as servants and apostles and disciples and evangelists to go precisely into the places of darkness and death so that we can give God's light and God's life. And we're not all alone. The psalm goes on to say, I will fear no evil. Why does it say that? Because it means that when you follow God, you're going to see evil, but you're not going to be afraid of it. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God gives us that spiritual nourishment, gives us what we need so we can face our enemies and not be overpowered, but love, love, life, and light in the darkness. My cup runs over with goodness to sustain me. You anoint my head with oil, and your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, every day, no matter what darkness I walk through and face. We are in the house of the Lord forever. Evil shall not prevail, but God will be with us. I remember as I was growing up as a child, I used to worry about my relationship with God. I used to worry about that. You know, you hear all these songs on the radio about heartbreak and missing and broken relationships. And I used to, think, well, do I really, is my relationship with God good enough? You know, and I would talk to people. I would talk to some pastors, some thinkers, other leaders, and they would try to reassure me. They'd say, you know, Wes, you don't need to worry about it. The only thing you need to worry about is, do you have a relationship with your Savior, Lord, and Jesus Christ? That's the only thing you have to do. And I know that they were trying to comfort me at that time. right? Sometimes we try to comfort people by saying the only thing you have to do is have a relationship with Jesus. But let me ask you something. How easy is it to have a relationship? I mean, last time I checked, relationships are a lot of work, right? I'm seeing some people, yeah, you know, relationships are a lot of work. The other day, one of our members was telling me about how they lost their childhood friend, and I could just see the hurt oozing out of their face. I mean, they were just broken. This was their childhood friend that they knew since they were like kindergarten. And why did it hurt that person so much? Because it's so rare. It's so rare to have these friends that are close to us our whole life. We're not talking a lot of people where you really narrow it down to just a few. Good relationships full of love, there's not a lot. It's so hard. It takes so much work and effort, and it's worth it, and we love it, and it gives us life. And so when we read and we think about heartache in our life, we think about the difference between words and actions, and when we consider the words that come from Luke in the reading of Acts that says, Jesus was the stone that you rejected, right? At the time, not a lot of people wanted to have a relationship with him. Yeah, there'd be occasionally crowds and people and food and miracles, but then when it got down to it, it was only 12 and really only 11. And really one of them, Peter, you know, was not faithful, got down to 10. And then really on Easter morning, it wasn't even any of the 10. It was two or three women that showed up. Relationships are hard work. But then Peter, who knew this, he says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. You are saved by grace through faith and not by your works. Yes, it's our relationship with Jesus that saves us, but it's Jesus who loves you unconditionally, the shepherd who every day showers you with words of love and unconditional forgiveness and grace. Those words of our Lord, those words of comfort and love and joy every day, even in our highs and lows, even when we, like Peter, are guilty of rejecting Christ as our cornerstone, he keeps loving us, and that rejected stone becomes the center of our life. The grace of God, the shepherd leading us with his words, it's the word of God. The word of God changes our actions, changes our ways, helps us to trust and have a relationship with our Lord, and helps us in our relationships in our life, in our families, with our neighbors and our friends. And so it is the Word of God, that changes our life, it changes our actions, it heals us, and it guides us through the darkness, through the valley, into light and life, eternal life, graciously given to us. Amen.